I don't know what will help you. God's people were called to be unleashed on this world. Unleashed. Listen, I am so glad that you are here today. Can I welcome you again? Can I just tell you, like I told you before, there's no better place that you can be. If you were church shopping today, congratulations. You have just found your new favorite place to be, right here at Cook Road. Listen, hey, I'm looking out over the crowd, and I'm telling you right now, I see people that I invited here, which I'm so glad that you're here, right? From like literally all walks of life. My babysitter is here. People that I grew up since kindergarten are here. People I went to college with are here. People that I worked with are here. People that have seen the good, the bad, and the in-between of Matt Trammell are in this building right now. So I want to say a special thank you to you that are here to come listen. I know you don't believe it. Turk, you believe it? You don't believe it. Bruns, you believe it? Cheese, you believe I'm up on stage right now? Yeah. I told you people laugh when I tell them I'm a pastor. But I'm glad that you're here, man. I appreciate you. We have a lot of visitors today. This is what we can be, right? This is what we can be, and we can continue to grow and get people excited. If you're here to see Pastor Hackworth preach, I am honored to tell you that he has rode off into the retirement sunset. And so, Pastor, if you ever hear this message, I want to thank you for being God's man here for over 20 years. Amen. You led and you impacted people in this church and in this community. And I want to say a special thank you for loving me and loving all my family. So thank you, Pastor Hackworth, for your faithful service to Cook Road Baptist Church, right? So, but I'm glad that you're here. So I am Matt. Matt is my name, and I'm the youth pastor here, and I'll be filling in until you find someone that you like better. And so here I am. I'm up on stage, and I want to tell you this before I even get started. Before I even get into my message, I want to tell you this, that Jesus loves you. Amen. And if you're here today, Jesus Christ wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't care how you walked into this building, as long as when you walk out of this building, you're a new person. He doesn't care about the baggage. He doesn't care about the drama. He already knows what you're going through. But Jesus Christ loves you. And if you're not saved today, I want to let you know that you can be saved today. If you don't know what happens after you die or Jesus comes back, I want to let you know that you can know that today. Amen. Why am I telling you this at the beginning? Isn't this usually something that we do at the end? I have your attention now, right? I have you most of the time for the beginning and the end. Some of you I will lose in the middle. But for right now, at the beginning, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he died for you. And if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to do that today. So you have between now and 1 o'clock when I'm done to get right, to get that relationship squared away. And then after we get done, maybe you can come down here and we can talk about your new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. New things are right around the corner. So again, thank you for being here. We're going to be in Joshua today. My title for this message is New Book. You always hear people talk about, you know, we're writing a new chapter in our life, we moved, I'm starting a new job, a new marriage. This is a new chapter in our book. Well, I'm going to take it a step further and say that what we're about to go through is an entirely new book. For the past 20 years, Pastor has done a great job at being at the helm, and now we're in this transition time to where we're going to not just write a new chapter at Cook Road, we're going to be writing a new book. So if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in Joshua 1. That is where we're going to be in Joshua 1. It's in the Old Testament. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. As the book of Joshua opens, we see that the Israelites are camped on the very bank, okay, of the Jordan River. They're at the very edge of Canaan, which was their promised land, okay? Long before these Israelites, this generation, long before they were promised a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that was very good for farming and to settle. It would be the land of the Israelites, God's chosen people. So here they are, they're on the east bank of the Jordan River getting ready. They're looking at this land that was promised to them. As we see in Joshua 1, they're completing the mourning period. Moses, their leader, had just died. And what was originally out of Egypt, right, when they were freed from Egyptian slavery, it was originally a 21-day journey from Egypt to Canaan. 21 days. Well, Israel messed around, lost faith in the God that had brought them out of slavery, that had had the plagues, that had parted the Red Sea, sent 12 spies into this land. 10 of them came back and said, no way. No way, we can't go. There's giants there. There's people there that will kill us. There's walled cities. There's no way. We don't care what God said. We cannot go into this land. And so because of that unbelief, because of their lack of faith in God, God turned that 21-day journey into a 40-year excursion through the wilderness. God made them wander until the disobedient generation that was 20 years old and above, right? He had to wait until they died. That was their punishment. And during this wilderness adventure, they did a pretty good job at obeying God's laws. They had some ups and downs, but they did a pretty good job. They did a good job at teaching this next generation that, listen, you're going to need certain things to go into this promised land. You're going to need something a little different than what we had. They were taught that faith in obeying God, doing what God says, is going to bring you victory. And if you don't, if you decide to not obey God and not do what God has for you, then it will bring destruction or 40 years wandering in the desert. And so when the last of the older generation had died, here we see them, this new generation that's come of age, and the Israelites are preparing to go into the promised land. So we need to take a look at this generation. Because after 40 years of wandering, we're seeing a new generation. This wasn't the generation of the wilderness. This wasn't the Exodus generation. This was the Joshua generation. And the generation of Joshua had a different calling. They had a different assignment. They had a different strategy. They would need different things to continue forward in doing God's will. Listen to me, folks. We have all kinds of different generations in this room right now. Let me tell you, the World War II generation never in their wildest minds would have thought that it would be okay to kill babies in 1973 Roe versus Wade. They would have never fathomed that. 30 or 40 years ago, guess what? They would have never fathomed, that generation would have never fathomed that boys could marry boys, legally. Or that you could go into whatever bathroom that you wanted to go in. Or you could identify with whatever gender or species that you wanted to be. That you could marry the Pacific Ocean. If you would have told this to a generation past, they would have thought that you were insane. But see, this generation that's coming after us is going to need some very different tools. They're going to need a very different strategy when it comes to expanding the gospel. What they need is going to be much different than what you needed in your generation. We live in a very changing world. So let's pick up the story here in Joshua 1. I'm going to read the Bible to you if that's okay. If not, you're in the wrong place. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Joshua, the only human being on the planet that had no parents. Joshua, son of Nun. All right. Son of Nun. Okay. Joshua, son of Nun. Made me lose my spot. Moses' assistant saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says this. Be strong and of good courage. NLT says, be strong and courageous. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. So we're going to park here for a second at verse 6. The focus of today's message is going to be on two words in this phrase. Be strong and courageous. Say first time. Say first time. No, say first time. That's the first time. First time. If you're taking notes today, my first point is be strong and courageous. First time. First time we're hearing that. This time, this first time that he says, be strong and courageous. Listen, can you possibly imagine, put yourself in Joshua's shoes, following a guy that had rescued the entire generation, the entire civilization of Israel. He rescued them from slavery, right? He parted the Red Sea. He did all of these insane things, and he led these people for 40 plus years. Moses dies, and here's Joshua looking at 2 to 3 million people that are scared, that just got out of wandering. I mean, their parents had just died being wandered around for 40 years, right? And here is Joshua going to lead this civilization into a very inhospitable place. Listen, the Canaanites, the giants, all the ites that we read in the Bible are there. And I can tell you this, that they would not have been okay with this Israelite nation coming and taking their land. The eviction notice would not have gone over very well. If I come to your house and I hand you a piece of paper that says, I know you live here, you lived here for a long time, but I'm going to need you to just pack your stuff up and leave, or I'm going to burn your whole house down. That's what the Israelites were doing. And so Joshua needed something special. God knew in this time of difficulty and in this time of transition exactly what Joshua needed. Church, I'm here to tell you that God knows exactly what this church needs in this time of transition. Amen. He knows what we need. Verse 7 says this. Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous. Look, God says it again, except this time he says very courageous. Say, this is the second time. This is the second time. You say, this is the second time. So if you're taking notes, point number two is be strong and very courageous. Point number one, be strong and courageous. If you're taking notes, point number two, be strong and very courageous. Joshua, if you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you the second time the ingredients that you'll need to be able to conquer this promised land. Continue in verse 7, that you may observe to do according to all the law. For the New Testament church, that law, we'll just say the Bible, the completed, perfect word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Let me tell you, church, there's going to be many opportunities for us to be pulled to the left and to the right. As we move forward, there's going to be many opportunities to get off track. I don't think that you realize how much ammunition we give the father of lies, Satan. We give him so much leverage to tear us apart. See, listen, this is the part I've been praying about. I'm going to be careful, but transition is on us whether we want it or we don't want it. And I need to tell you this. Again, I'm going to be careful. Daggone it. I'm going to be careful because I don't want to offend you. But Cook Road Baptist Church has a choice to make. We're at a crossroads in this ministry. It only requires a quick look around to see that we are an aging church. Now, don't tune me out here. Listen to everything that I have to say. We are an aging church. Almost all of the teens that I hear about, all the big events, all the things that used to happen, now those teenagers are adults, and almost every single one of them are not here. Less than a handful of the ones that grew up in this church have stayed to be productive members of Cook Road Baptist Church and what I call Big Church. Now, older people, please listen to me. Do not take this the wrong way. Don't hear that, oh, Matt hates old people now. He just wants to throw them out, get all these young people in. Listen, the most important man in my entire life is here with us today. It's my papaw. He's the most important man in my life. He has spoke more truth and wisdom into my life than anyone in my 33 years of life. And I can only speak in a couple of sentences when it comes to papaw because I just start falling apart. Guess what? Papaw is an old man. He's an old man. But listen, older folks, we need you. We need you. I'm not saying throw away the old people. Just go put them over there in the corner and let them drink coffee. We need you here to pour into our next generation. You are our wisdom. You've been here before. You've paved the way. You've been faithful. You've learned how to tithe. So don't, when I say that we're having this transition, don't hear, oh, Matt just wants to change everything. And we're not going to change just to change. But if we continue down the path that we're on right now, there won't be a need for a new kids curriculum. There won't be a need for a greeting team. Because soon enough, there won't be anyone here left to greet. I'll be careful here too. Am I being careful? Listen, folks, I'm in the community. I do strength and conditioning at Mansfield Christian School. I coach my son's baseball and basketball and football teams. I'm at the YMCA. Got some buddies here from the YMCA that I lived with. They came to church. I'm in the community. I just had lunch with the pastor at Crossroads. Listen, I hear things. And it's not that Cook Road has a bad reputation, right? We've been very faithful for 60 years in this community. But we have a reputation of being King James only. And with King James only, whether this is deserved or not, this is how people view us. The baggage of legalism comes with being King James only. That's not just our church. That's across the board. There's people that will never step in our church just because it says Baptist on the sign. And so we're already fighting an uphill battle. But I'm telling you, the reputation we have in the community right now is being a little stuffy, a little conservative, which conservative isn't bad, but we still need to be functional in reaching lost people.
Amen.
I'm here. I might as well keep going. You can take me to the city gates and stone me after if you feel it necessary. But I have to tell you the truth. I refuse, as a pastor on staff in this church, to let Bible translation tear our church apart. I've seen far minor things tear a church apart. I've seen people leave because of the color of the blinds, the color of the carpet. Translation issues are tearing churches apart. Listen to me. I was raised King James. My dad and my grandpa right now at this very second at 11:15 a.m., my dad and my grandpa are both right now preaching King James. How cool is that? Amen. Three generations preaching right now? Man, you are in trouble. My Bible memorization is King James. But church, we need to realize that King James is a translation, not the translation. There are several incredibly solid common English translations of the Bible. Now, I say that to say there are, you gotta be careful, there are some crazy ones out there that paraphrase and take this and take that out. But King James is a translation. Now listen to me. If that is your preference, amen. Amen. If that's your preference, then by all means, read that book until the pages turn on fire. Right? Read it. But don't confuse your preference with doctrine. Listen, I've been in churches where the pastor sat across the desk and told me, listen, you cannot get saved unless your King James Bible is open in front of you. I've even had the argument used against me, if it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for me. Some of you will get that later. Paul, like in the Bible, I didn't have King James back then. Okay. At that point, I was like, okay, this conversation probably needs to take a different direction. But the very fact that Satan has been allowed to use the Word of God as a fracturing point in our churches is absolutely ridiculous and very, very sad. There's no reason that that should ever be the case. The same goes with dress code. While I'm here, I'm just going to be here for a second. What you wear, first, let me say this. I agree that you should look nice for church because of who and what we represent. So I'm not up here in cut-off jean shorts and a tank top with stains on it. You know, I want us to look nice because of who we represent. But what you wear makes you no more spiritual than me swimming in the ocean makes me a dolphin. Amen. Listen, Jesus condemned the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had these sweet robes. They had these little pretty tassels at the bottom. They had these awesome little headdresses and their ephods. And they had this great outward appearance. But he looks at those people and he says, you know what? You look good on the outside. Right? You look good, but inside you're dead men's bones. Do not ever let someone walk in this room, no matter what they have on, and judge the spiritual condition of their heart. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what clothes they have. They might not be able to afford a suit and tie. Or they might not be able to fit in one without getting it tailored. Don't let that be a fracturing issue in our church. Again, if that's your preference, then that's fantastic. Wear what you want to wear. But don't you ever judge anyone else for what they want to wear. If they want to wear jeans, guess what? That does not affect your holiness in any way, shape, or form. Amen. You want to wear a shirt that's untucked? Doesn't matter. You're here in church. And you're here to learn about Jesus so that you can go out and make an impact for the kingdom. Cook Road Baptist Church, listen to me very carefully. We need to be a church that unchurched, church hurt, broken, addicted, desperate, searching people come and feel safe. No matter what the world throws at you out here, when you come to Cook Road Baptist Church, you are in a safe place. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to make you do or say certain things. You're a child of God. You're broken. Listen, we're all jacked up. Every one of us. One by one, I can go through and say, you know what? You got issues. You got issues. I got issues. But we're on the same team. And for us to go as a church and go out and say that we love people, but to come here, you have to dress a certain way or read a certain Bible, I refuse to let that break this church apart. I can continue to go down the division points. I continue to go down the laundry list of things that break churches apart, music and whatever. The bottom line is this, that in the climate of today's culture, we're going to have to be strong and courageous. There is no other option. And there might be some things that we're doing or that we do that might make you feel a little uncomfortable. But that's okay. That's okay. Show me one character in the Bible that was powerfully used by God that was comfortable. Show me any. The ultimate being Jesus. You think Jesus was comfortable 40 days without food and water? You think Jesus was comfortable in the garden when he's sweating like drops of blood? Was he comfortable in this position when he was on the cross dying for your sins? God uses uncomfortable people to do incredible and mighty things for his kingdom. Comfort can be public enemy number one. Because you know what? You're good. I'm good. I got a car. I got a good job. My kids are good. I got food. I have a nice church. I'm comfortable. God is not making a museum here at Cook Road Baptist Church. God wants to start a movement here, not a museum. I can promise you this, the message will never change. I've said that from day one. The message from this pulpit, as long as I have anything to do with it, will never change. The gospel will be preached in its entirety and unapologetically as long as I'm here. Amen. But our methods, the way we reach people, the way we're viewed in the community, those things we have to have some flexibility to be able to change. The death rattle of any church that I've ever been a part of will say we've always done it this way or we've never done it that way before. We have to be a church that is ready and willing to do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. If it doesn't work, okay, let's regroup and we'll figure something else out. We have to get out of our own way. We have to put our preferences to the side as long as it's not compromising the gospel. Until we do that, we will be in trouble. Get on board with the vision to see lost people come to Christ. Verse 8 says this. You still with me? This is that middle where I start to lose you. Are you still with me? Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. All. Say all. Pretty inclusive word. All includes all. Okay. All that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let's look at the word meditate very quickly. Meditate in the dictionary means this. Think deeply or carefully about something. When was the last time that you meditated on Scripture? Not just read it, not just read your verse of the day, not just read your Bible to out of obligation or guilt and, oh, I gotta get my chapter done, gotta get my daily bread done. When was the last time you sat and meditated, thought deeply on Scripture and allowed it to transform your life? The cornerstone of this church is the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I'm not a builder. We got some builders in here. I'm not a builder. I can get pretty crazy if I got some Legos and some directions, but I'm not a builder. But what I do know about a cornerstone is that what they would do with the cornerstone is they would set the cornerstone and it doesn't move. It's immovable, and every other stone is based upon that cornerstone. So anything we build in this church, any program we do, any activity, any outreach is going to be filtered through the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. This church is meant to be a training ground. This isn't a place where you come and you feel good and you check your box and then you just go. This is supposed to be a training ground where you learn about Jesus Christ. And not just learn about it, but what would happen in your life if you applied all that was in Scripture? What you read, you applied. It's good to read your Bible, but if you're not applying your Bible, you're not doing any of us much good. The Bible tells us that you will be prosperous and successful if you do the things that are written in it. Now listen, don't ever accuse me of prosperity gospel. That's not prosperity gospel. That is what God says when you do what he tells you to do. Your life will look much different if you do all the things that are written in it. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Third time, say third time. If you're taking notes today, point number 3 is be strong and courageous. Point number 1, be strong and courageous. Point number 2, be strong and very courageous. Point number 3, be strong and courageous. The third time. Listen, don't be afraid. There are people in this room right now that are afraid. There's people that are afraid. There are people that are discouraged. There's people in here right now that things are going very well right now, but tomorrow things could look drastically different. Your life could change in an instant. Turn to the person to your right and say, don't be scared. Turn to the person to your left and say, don't be discouraged. Tap the person in front of you and say, don't be afraid. Y'all can't lean up at the same time. You won't be able to tap each other. Listen, the Bible is telling you to don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You can't miss this. In a very short 9 verses, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. God couldn't use Moses and his generation to get the job of conquering Canaan done. He couldn't use them. So he's preparing Joshua for the enemies he would soon face. You can't face your enemies if you're not strong and courageous. You can't do it. I want to look at these words, strong and courageous. This is the focus of our message. So let's look at these words. Let's look at strong first. What's the opposite of strong? Weak. When it comes to spiritual things in your relationship with Jesus Christ, as it stands today, there are those in this crowd that your relationship is very weak. Your spiritual life is very weak. When you're weak, you're easily overcome with temptation. If your immune system is weak, you get sick easier. If your football team's defense is weak, Browns, the other team will score easier. If your nation's defense systems are weak, you will be conquered easier. But as Christ followers, if you're a Christ follower in here today, and you are under the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for your sins, his life for your life, we're called to be strong in our faith. Let me do a little field experiment. I don't know if anybody raised their hand, but maybe. Who in this room would consider themselves strong? Physically strong. Physically. Physically strong. Is there anybody in this room that would consider themselves physically strong? Nobody? Yeah? Okay. Steve Taylor, come here, buddy. Come here, Steve. While Steve's coming to the stage, Steve's my buddy, man. Went down to the Arnold Classic together. Steve's a lifter, obviously. Helps me in the teen room. Here, Steve, I even got a microphone for you, buddy. We're official. All right? Taught Sunday school for me. How'd Sunday school go? Did Sunday school? It was good? Okay. So, Steve, you can see Steve, right? I should have told you to do some push-ups or something. You didn't come up here with the pump. This is Steve, man. We can see that Steve is physically strong. And so, listen, Steve didn't fall out of bed this morning and look like this, right? It didn't happen. It took Steve going above and beyond what the normal person does on a daily basis for him to look this way. So, Steve, I want to ask you some questions, bro. You're on. How many days a week do you work out?
At least 5.
At least 5 days a week. Yeah. Just at that, people are like, whoo, yeah. They're passing out, right? 5 days a week. What time did you lift this morning?
No, I've been sick last couple of days.
Okay, slacker. It's all good. Yeah, what time do you normally?
6 a.m. 6 a.m. morning, yeah.
6 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
They have two sixes for a reason, I guess.
There's, yeah, I guess.
I know p.m. So you get up early before you go to work and you lift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long do you usually lift each session?
Almost an hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
Yeah.
5 days a week?
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock in the morning?
It's fun for me. I like it.
Sure. What do you eat? What do you eat? McDonald's, Krispy Kremes? When you see that light go on, you just like sprint to the door. What do you?
I try to eat, you know, chicken, fish,
sure,
steak.
So you have to
like
eat.
Yeah.
You have to eat. You have to be disciplined.
Sure.
You can't just eat whatever you want. What about sleep? You try to sleep as get some rest.
Yeah.
Right.
6-7 hours, not as much as I'd like, but yeah.
Sure. Is there days where you don't feel like doing it? Is there days where you're just like, you know what?
Sure.
I'm not going to the gym. It's too hard. I'm too tired. I didn't get. You can find
excuses. Last couple days because I haven't felt good.
So, sure, yeah. You can find excuses, right?
Yeah.
But say that you have had dedication and it takes work, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's crazy that all of us in this room have the same amount of muscle, right? We have all the same muscles. Steve or I, we don't have any extra muscles anywhere. I squat and deadlift almost 700 pounds. But I don't have any more muscles than my one-year-old little boy. But we have trained, huh?
He's getting them.
He's getting them. He'll be there. But you have to train, right? It takes consistency. It takes hard work to be physically strong. We've trained and developed through work and perseverance. See, listen, God has called all of us to be a beast spiritually. Thanks, Steve. You're done. Good job, buddy. Steve the Beast. You look good. That's all that matters. Stay. So my point is this, man. You have to work hard to be physically strong. Paul compares physical and spiritual quite a bit. And when you are strong, when our church is strong spiritually, generations will change. The Word of God has answers to be spiritually strong, but you have to read and apply it. It doesn't matter if you have subscription to every fitness magazine, if you are a member at every gym in the area. None of those things matter until you apply what you're reading about, until you go to the gym and start lifting. Same thing with church. So what can I give you to practical that you can try to implement? Listen, Steve wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go lift before he goes to work. What you can start doing just as kind of a warm-up is get up 15 minutes early and give that 15 minutes to God. When you get out of bed, before your feet hit the floor, you think, thank you, God, for another day. You woke up, your eyes open because God wasn't done with you yet. And so just take the first 15 minutes, and that will be your spiritual pump for the day. Now, as you mature, then we can do 30 minutes, and then maybe an hour, then maybe 2 hours. And if it's 2 hours, maybe you don't have a job to go to, and we're going to pray that you get a job. But these are just some practical things that you can do to start beefing yourself up spiritually. If you're not applying it, it means nothing. How about courageous? What is the opposite of courage? Fear. There are many fears in the world. Some are rational. Some are incredibly irrational. Some people are afraid of buttons. Some people are afraid of birds. Some people are afraid of swimming in the ocean. Some people are afraid of holes. That's called trypophobia. I looked up some phobias. Man, y'all, there are some weird phobias. Why are people afraid? Why are you afraid of the dark? Because it's unknown. You don't want to swim in the ocean because you don't know if there's a shark waiting on you to snack on your leg. You're afraid because you don't know those test results yet. Can I just tell you, and Annie wouldn't probably like me to tell you this, but I know we have some prayer warriors in here. We have some prayer warriors in here. And my wife, Annie, 6 months ago, was just at a regular checkup, a girl checkup, whatever y'all do. And they found some irregular cells. And so they said, come back 6 months later. And the 6 months later was not very long ago. And they were irregular again. So she has to go back next month, and they have to do a little more intensive test to see if my wife has cancer. And it wasn't 3 minutes after I got done typing the sentence to be strong and courageous. As I was in this part of courage, I just got done typing the sentence and my wife calls me with that news. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully, it's nothing. There's some of you that have been in that situation where you're waiting on a test result to come back to see if it's malignant or not. We get scared of things that we don't know. You're afraid to tell people about Jesus because you don't want them to think you're a religious nut. You're afraid to invite people to church because you don't know what they'll think about you. But let me tell you this. To be a Christian in 2017, you have to be brave. You have to be brave. Listen, if it was easy, then it would have a different name. It would just be, if it was easy for everyone, then it would just would be easy. And it wouldn't be called bravery. It wouldn't be called courage. But in your life right now, whatever you're going through, I know we're going through some stuff. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. We serve a God that sees the beginning of time and the end of time all at the same time. In your darkest, scariest moments, God promises you that I will not leave you or forsake you. I am with you no matter where your foot goes, no matter where your hands are, no matter where you go, I'm with you. No matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on. He knew that when he told Joshua to be strong and courageous, he already knew that those walls of Jericho were down. They were as good as down. The land of Canaan was as good as conquered. God is making you these promises that he made to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. He knows that we're going to need those two things. Is it easy? No, church, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have our ups and downs. We're going to have our bumps. We're going to have our disagreements. We're going to have our, it's just part of it. Welcome to humanity. But Joshua still had to go on the journey. Even though he was promised these things, he still had to go on the journey. Right now, church, we're on the edge of the Jordan. We're on the east bank and we're looking in and we're saying, we don't know. We don't know what's on the other side. You're in your marriage right now. You're in your job right now. You're in a career change. You're in problems with your kids, problems with your wife, problems with your family, problems with your car. And you're looking out over that Jordan and you're saying, I'm scared to death. I don't know what's on the other side, but God is telling me to be strong and courageous. And if the star breather is on my side, then who can be against me? Amen. In your sickness, your frustration, your death of a loved one, God has given you victory. In this time in history where no religion is the new religion, church, we have to be strong and courageous. We're going to have to be brave. Are you ready to start writing a new book here at Cook Road? As musicians come, we're done. But are you ready? Are you ready to start this new book, this new adventure, by being strong and courageous? Some of us right now are weak. And let me tell you, it's through Jesus Christ that you can be strong. We can't see what's on the other side. When you're going through these journeys in this wilderness, in this craziness, this jungle of life, and we can't see 2 feet in front of us, and we're just trudging and we're just going through saying, God, why is this happening? But then we look back and we say, oh, that makes sense. You gave me the ability to be strong and courageous. Now it all makes sense. Some of you are going to need these two words as you go into this week. Once you leave these doors, you've got to be strong and courageous. If not, you're going to get trampled. The world will eat you up. Satan will come and attack you, make you feel isolated, make you feel lonely, make you feel like you're the only one going through it. But I'm here to tell you that you have a Jesus that died for you. That is the good news. We're a church that preaches the gospel, all of it. The gospel means good news. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you personally witnessed to someone, led someone to Jesus Christ? Are you making a monument or are you making a museum in your life, in your church? It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. There's going to be challenges. It's not going to be very fun sometimes. But we've got a promise waiting on the other side. Be strong and courageous. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Bow your head and close your eyes. We're at the part of the service where you heard a message. I don't know what you're going through. God knows. I'm so thankful for the ones that are here. If you're going through some stuff, don't leave those doors without getting it squared away. You can leave it. Listen, this altar right here, throughout church history, has been a good thing. Human beings are big on symbolism, right? We salute our flag. We put our hands on our hearts. We have a lot of things that are symbolic. This altar here is symbolic of that first step, being strong and courageous, to step out and come and lay whatever you have going on at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. Say, listen, I can't do this on my own. Listen, church, I can't build this church on my own. Staff can't build this church on their own. We need God to do it. And in this transition period, God has shown me, listen, Matt, it's not just going to be you. You can't do it by yourself, brother. You better get on your face and do it my way. So if you're here today, listen, wherever you are, I would love for you to come. I would pray with you. Someone in our congregation would pray for you. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, listen, in a room this size, you cannot tell me, you cannot convince me that every single person in this room has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're still battling with, okay, if I were to die tomorrow, I don't wish that on anybody, but if I were to die tomorrow, I don't know what I would say. If I'm standing before my Creator and He says, why should I let you in? You don't know what your answer would be. I was a good person. No. Sorry. I don't care how many ladies you help with their groceries. I don't care how nice you are to your coworkers. I don't care how many times you've gone to church. God doesn't care. But He's not up there taking attendance. He's looking at your heart. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day to figure that out as well. So we're just going to do a verse or two of invitation. If you want to step out, step out. If you want to come pray for your church, come pray for your church. We're going to need all the prayer that we can get. Thank you so much.